This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Muslims, we are people of vision. Muslims, we are people who aspire greatness. This is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you and me. My brothers, look at the positive light. To understand who we are and why we are created, do not be like those who have forgotten Allah, so Allah has caused them to forget themselves. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Muhammad bin Amin al-Shanqiti rahimahullah, when he was 14 years old, he wrote 1,000 verses of poetry about the genealogy of the tribes in the Arabian Peninsula. But what was amazing is that when he became, this is not the most amazing thing about it, by the way. What was even more amazing was that when he became older, he actually took that 1,000 verses of poetry and he tore it up. And he burnt it and he buried the ashes in the ground. So when all the ulama of Islam who used to read his stuff and we were amazed with the intelligence and the brilliance of this man, when they heard about what he had done, and by the way, that was the only copy of that poem that he had written. When he did that, they went and asked him, why did you do that? He said, when I was 14 years old, I was a man who did not understand what ikhlas was. And so at that point, I wanted to be better than all my other friends who were also studying Islam and becoming great scholars. And so I wrote that poem, that 1,000 verses of poetry without ikhlas in my heart. I do not want to pass away from this earth whilst having left something on the face of this earth that was done without any ikhlas. Allahu Akbar. This is exactly what ikhlas is. It is that you sincerely make something purely for the sake of Allah. And by Allah, if this world was full of things that were done purely for the sake of Allah, what a beautiful place it would be. But because people do not do things these days with the purest of sincerity, our world these days are filled with the most atrocious of things because of the fact that people lack the most important ingredient in all of their actions, sincerity. My brothers and sisters in Islam, ikhlas is a religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept any other religion other than it. Ikhlas is a word that is heavier than the universe and everything that it contains. Ikhlas is the greatest action of the heart. Ikhlas is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you and me. It is that we may worship only one God. Wama umiru, they have not been commanded with anything, nothing. Illa liya'budullaha mukhlisina lahu ad-deen. But Allah, we have not been commanded to do anything except one, which is to worship Allah, sincerely making the religion and our worship only for Him. My brothers and sisters in Islam, ikhlas is a word that if a person were to say the word of ikhlas and the statement of ikhlas as his last word before he passes away, Allah guarantees for him Jannah. What is that word? La ilaha illallah. Man kana akhiru kalamihi. Whoever the last word was La ilaha illallah. Do you know even a person who is dying shouldn't be told to say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? No. Just say La ilaha illallah and then shut up. Keep quiet. Don't say any more. One of the mistakes that we do these days is that we tell our mauta, the ones who are passing away, we tell them, say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Abadan. No, that's wrong. Only stop at La ilaha illallah and finish. Because that's what the Prophet said in the authentic hadith in Bukhari. مَنْ كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِهِ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. This is the value of ikhlas. One word, one phrase by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eternally write Jannah for this person. Rejoice my friends, for indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not judge us by our looks. And not every one of us, mashallah, has the best looks and the best features externally. But Allah will judge every single one of us by the purity of our hearts. And so be wary, my friends, at the same time. Because the heart is something that wavers and quivers. And the sincerity in the heart will also waver and quiver. وَمَا سُمِّيَ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَّا لِنَسِيهِ وَلَا الْقَلْبُ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ يَتَقَلَّبُ. Mankind was not called mankind except because he forgets. Which is nasi in Arabic. So he was called insan. And the heart was not called the heart إِلَّا أَنَّهُ يَتَقَلَّبُ. The heart was not called the qalb in Arabic, except that it wavers and it moves and it twists and turns and it goes from right to the left and back and front. My friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not judge us with anything more important than the purity of our heart. And the most important action of the heart is going to be our sincerity and our ikhlas for the sake of Allah. If Allah wants good for you, by Allah, Allah will give you sincerity in your heart. If Allah wants good for you, Allah will make you do things only for His sake. And if Allah does not want good for you, He will put doubts in your heart, He will put riya and pride in your heart, and He will put all these desires in your heart that will cloud your heart from true sincerity. My brothers and sisters in Islam, do you remember the hadith of the man who will have 100 or 99 scrolls of bad deeds? You know of the man who will have 99 scrolls of bad deeds that will be brought out, and then the man will be asked, do you have any good deeds at all? And the man will say, no, Ya Rabb, I have nothing. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, no, but you have one thing that you have done and you will not be wronged. At that point, a bitaqa or a card with La ilaha illallah will be brought up, and that card will outweigh all the bad deeds that the man has ever done. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, this hadith is a proof that the man said La ilaha illallah with pure ikhlas. Because how many people are there on this earth who say La ilaha illallah? Wallahi, the hypocrites say La ilaha illallah. Even the disbelievers, some of the disbelievers from the Quraysh said La ilaha illallah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make them from those people. So a person who says it with pure sincerity, total ikhlas in his heart, then such is a person who gets this reward. Also, you've heard of the hadith of the Jewish prostitute, the one who went down on the well. She was thirsty and she drank some water. Then she saw a dog that was thirsty as well. Do you remember that hadith? So what did she do? She went down again into the well, she filled the water in her shoe, and she gave the dog water to drink. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, how many are the prostitutes of this earth who give people water to drink and food to eat, but Allah will never forgive them. But Allah forgave this particular one Jewish prostitute. Why, by Allah? Because of pure ikhlas and sincerity. With one simple deed, the woman would have slept with 1,000 men. But still Allah forgave all of that because of one act of good deed that a person does with ikhlas and sincerity in his heart. It is for this reason why the scholars of Islam even mention that when shaitan made the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ, when shaitan made the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him eternal life, or life until the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted it. Why? When he's the shaitan. Well, because he asked it purely, only, simply, only from the sake of Allah. And only asked from Allah Azzawajal directly. Also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said an authentic hadith in Muslim. He said, رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا يَتَقَلَّبُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, I saw a man who was moving around in Jannah. Why? Because of one good deed that he did. What was the good deed? He saw a tree, and a bark of a tree, or a trunk of a tree that was bearing down on a road. And he thought that bark of a tree was going to harm the Muslims that crossed the road. And he cut it up. And he said, by Allah, I will cut that tree off so that inshallah the tree doesn't harm any of the believers. And so Allah thanked him and Allah entered him into Jannah. How many people are there who will remove rubbish on the road but Allah will never forgive them? Why? Because they don't have true sincerity in their heart. And by Allah, if it is one simple deed that you do, $1, one dime, one date that you do, that you give somebody to eat, but you have the purest of ikhlas in your heart, I swear by Allah that is enough for you to enter Jannah. Wallahi, that is enough for you to enter Jannah. Allah forgave the Jewish prostitute. You are not prostitutes. You are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are pure slaves of Allah. All you need is one simple deed, but with pure ikhlas and absolute sincerity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for this reason why Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, wallahi, if I knew that Allah had accepted even one of my prostrations, I would be the happiest person on this earth. One prostration, I would be the happiest person on this earth. It is also for this reason why Fudayl ibn Iyad used to say, Tuba, Tuba is a tree in paradise. Tuba be for the person who takes one step on this earth and he does it and he knows that it is sincerely only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatness of ikhlas. This is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets to this earth. It is the reason for our creation. It is the reason for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything. Ikhlas, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Compare this to the first people that will be judged on the Day of Judgment. Who are they? They are a person who said that I sought knowledge, or I gave money, or I memorized the Qur'an and I read the Qur'an. And they did not do it for the sake of Allah. And so they will all be thrown into the fire. So the thing that will ensure eternal Jannah is ikhlas. And the thing that will ensure that you are the first people to enter hellfire is lack of ikhlas. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, when he was going to be thrown into the fire, it is reported that Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam came to him and said, Ya Ibrahim, afika haja. Ibrahim, do you have any need? And so at that point, amma min ant. As for from you, then no, by Allah, I have no need from you. As for from Allah, فَحَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. Glory be to Allah, enough is Allah, a protector for us, and enough is Allah, a supervisor over our affairs. So at that point, Allah ordered the fire, كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Be that coolness and that safety for Ibrahim. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah and At-Tabari reports that the pious predecessors used to say that had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not said salaman after saying bardan, had He not said be safety after saying be cool, that the fire would have frozen Ibrahim. Ya salam, the beauty of ikhlas is unbelievable. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, he used to say, I have not seen anything as elusive upon me as sincerity. It keeps changing upon me. In another narration he said, Wallahi, I've struggled with my sincerity for 30 years until I learned how to control it. In another narration, he said, Wallahi, every single thing that I've done in front of mankind, all the classes I've done, all the worship I've done, all the ibadah that I've done, all the tasbih and tahmid and all the things that I've done, when other people have seen it, فَلَا أَحْسِبُهُ شَيْئًا. I don't consider it to be anything at all. Why? Because of the inability of mankind to have completely pure ikhlas in front of others. So this man does not consider, this alim of Islam never considered any of the deed that he did in front of anyone to be anything at all. Why? Because he knew what sincerity is. Allah is the pure and He only accepts the 100% pure. And can you tell me, by Allah, you coming here now, knowing that someone around you is looking at you now, that you have 100% ikhlas right now? Wallahi, I cannot say it myself. I was dreading, how am I going to give this talk in front of people? I knew, and I know Allah will ask me about it. How dare you give this talk, Tawfiq, when you don't have 100% ikhlas? Ya salam wa ya musiba. Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani, may Allah have mercy upon him, one of the scholars of Islam. He used to pray all night, and in the morning when he used to wake up, he used to make noises as if just woken up, and he used to say, and he used to make really loud noises. Why? So that his neighbors thought that he had just woken up now. Also Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani, this great scholar of Islam, when he used to cry in his lessons, whenever he would, you know, he would mention something, let's say Rasulullah or Jannah or Nar, and his eyes would water with tears, he used to rub his eyes and say, oh, what a bad cold I have. Oh, what a bad cold I have. Subhanallah. It's not a cold that he has. He is just afraid that he does not want to do that deed of that tear that is crying for the sake of people, but only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim al-Dustawai, one of the great scholars of Islam, al-Dhahabi reports from him in Sir Alam al-Nubula. And he says, Ibrahim al-Dustawai, this great scholar of hadith, he said, Wallahi la astati an aqula anni talabtu ilma al-hadith yawman qat li wajhi Allah. He said, it's a great scholar of hadith, he said, Wallahi, I cannot say with 100% certainty in my heart that I sought hadith for even one day, for completely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot say that with 100% certainty. Al-Dhahabi said in Sirah al-Munnubula, after narrating this, he said, Wallahi wala ana. He said, by Allah, even I cannot say that. So ask yourself this question. Are you sure you have 100% ikhlas? Are you wallahi sure now, right now, as I'm telling you, and my words are burning into your heart? Tell me, do you have 100% ikhlas? But Allah, this is the purpose of your creation. And how dare you not have 100% ikhlas? This is the only reason why we have been created. Ash-Shafi'i rahimullah used to say, I wish that this knowledge was reported from me and relayed from me without my name being reported. Because wallahi, I cannot tell that I will have ikhlas on the day that I hear that someone got knowledge from Shafi'i. Also, Abdullah bin Mutarraf, one of the great scholars of Islam of the past, he used to say, he used to make a dua that was well known. What was the dua that he used to say? He used to say, Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from that which I thought I intended it for you, but my intention became defiled by which you are most aware of. Allahu Akbar. One of the great scholars of Islam as well, his name was Khalid ibn Mi'dan. Whenever the number of students used to increase in front of him, he would stop teaching. Why? Because he'd say, I have not prepared for these number of students with my ikhlas. And he would go home, and he would sit, and he would prepare with his heart, and say, Ya Allah, is my level of ikhlas now ready to take now double number of students or not? Dawud ibn Abi Hind, another great scholar of Islam. Another great scholar of Islam. They said when he died, that they found out that his family never knew that Dawud ibn Abi Hind was actually fasting for 40 years. For 40 years he was fasting, but his family never knew. Why? Because he would not tell them. Because fasting is something that was only between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he would take food in the morning and food at lunch and he would give it away. He would go to work and give it away in charity. And his family never knew that he was fasting. And he would come home and of course have dinner with them. So his family never knew. But Allah, every day that we fast, we tell our wives, by the way, tomorrow I'm going to be fasting. And our wives tell us, I'm fasting today, so don't expect me to do anything. Don't we do that? Yes. But Allah, I think we tell other people the day we are fasting more. And they know more about the days that we are fasting rather than ourselves. Ya Musiba, my brothers and sisters in Islam, I don't want to bore you with any more detail except for one important last point that I want to end my lecture on. And that is the means of achieving ikhlas. How shall we achieve ikhlas? And this is the way of true success. And I want you to remember these points. The first and most important thing to achieving true sincerity in ikhlas, to achieve the purpose of your existence on this earth. Sincere dua to Allah, Oh Allah, give me ikhlas. Oh Allah, give me ikhlas. Oh Allah, make my actions only for your sake. How many times have you asked Allah for ikhlas in your life? You should ask this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you do any deed, my friends. They used to say, Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah used to take 5 minutes before starting his salah. 5 minutes, why? Because he used to say, I'm trying to rectify my heart, preparing myself. And so this is why in the Shafi'i madhab, you cannot straight away say, Allahu Akbar. You have to take time. Why? Because you want to say Bismillah, you want to prepare your intention, and then slowly say, Allahu Akbar. On the other hand, the other madhabs is different. Why is that the case? Because they used to see a Shafi'i rahimullah being like this. Someone who would take 5 minutes or more to purify his heart before starting an action. This is wallahi more important than the action itself. This is why the pious predecessors used to say, whoever wishes to perfect their action, then let them perfect their intention. If you want to have the best actions, then have the best intention. So spend some time to purify your intention, my friends, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that purity of intention. The second thing, my friends, to achieving ikhlas, is to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really is. Do you know who Allah is? Have you found out how great Allah is? Have you found out His names and attributes? Have you found out about the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the greatness of Allah? Have you found out, or have you found this hadith, which always amazes me, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hadith is authentic, it's in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created so many angels that there is not a single hand span in the heavens and the earth except that there is an angel that is standing or bowing or prostrating to Allah in that space of a hand span. So in every space of a handspan, there is an angel that is standing or bowing or prostrating to Allah. And they have been doing so ever since the time they have been created. When were the angels created? Before us or after us? before us and on the day of judgment. The Prophet continued and he said, on the day of judgment, when Allah will take their souls away and give them death, these angels that have been created only to worship Allah in every handspan of the heavens and the earth, and they have been doing so ever since they have been created, they will say on the day of judgment, Ya Rabb, O Allah, we have not worshipped you as you deserve to be worshipped. Is there a slave of Allah who hears this except that the shame on his face is evident? Is there a slave of Allah who hears this except that he feels hypocrisy evident in his heart? Is there a slave of Allah who hears this except that the flesh will melt from his face? It is not possible, my brothers and sisters in Islam, for people to hear statements like this and understand how great Allah is, except that the true fear of Allah shakes their heart and enters into their soul. So when you hear the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that we worship, the one that we struggle with the life for, the one that we make everything for, by Allah you will be amazed. And it's impossible for you to not make things only for His sake. And the next time you think you're doing a deed for someone else, you're going to realize how petty that is. The third way, my friends, is to remember your death. Remember the grave. Remember death. Nothing will make you fear Allah like when you remember the grave. When you remember that you will be inside one. And that you remember how all your qiyamah will come to you the day that you die. If today after this talk you die, your qiyamah will start right away. Your qiyamah will start today. Don't wait for the day of judgment, but Allah, it will start today. So the angels of death and the angels of punishment and the angels of paradise are waiting. Who knows who amongst us will pass away? But someone may pass away. Ya Salam. Let me give you an example of a person who fears Allah. Aisha radiallahu anha, it was reported that one of her cousins was passing by her hut after the death of Rasulullah. This was after Fajr, she started praying the Duha prayer. She came upon the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah was saying, فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَ عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us and He saved us from that terrible scorching of the fire. He said that I heard Aisha saying this and she was sobbing and she was crying. Then I went away and attended to some errand and I came back. And I came back a couple of hours later and by Allah she was still standing and she was still sobbing and she was still reciting the same verse. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَ عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us and He saved us from the terrible torment. This is the true success. This is the true success, the one who fears Allah. The one who allows the tears to drop on his face from the fear of Allah. But truly that face will never be touched by the fire. That person will not be touched by the fire, the one who truly, truly cries from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also Ibn Abi Dinar, he used to stand up the nights in salah and he used to grab his beard in this manner and he used to say, Ya Rabb, I heard in a hadith that was reported by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you have already decreed the people who will go to Jannah and who will go to Jahannam. He used to say, Ya Rabb, which group am I from? And he would cry, which group am I from? Do you know which group you are from? Allah has written it already, but Allah, do you know which group you are from? This is why Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah used to say, هَلْ أَبْكَاكَ عِلْمُ اللَّهِ فِيكَ. Has the knowledge of Allah about you ever made you cry? Knowing that Allah already knows whether you are informed, you are from the people of Jannah, from the people of Jahannam. Has that knowledge of knowing that Allah knows whether you are headed for Jannah or for Jahannam. Has that ever made you cry? If it hasn't, it should. And when it will, then it will only fill your heart with true ikhlas. The fourth way to increase ikhlas in your heart is to increase in those actions which are only done with ikhlas, which can only be done when a person has true ikhlas. What are those deeds that can be only be done when you have true ikhlas? Tahajjud prayer. You know, a person who loves ikhlas will love those deeds where ikhlas is the only thing that can really be done. Tahajjud prayer. What's another example of a deed that you can do? Feed the poor when no one knows about it. give charity to somebody when no one knows about it. They used to say that the scholars of Islam, they used to cover themselves every single time they would go and give charity to people so the people would never recognize them. They said they knew that a person was a great man when that man would never reveal himself the one who helped people. But these days the culture is to talk about how much we've given. For nations to brag about how much we've helped the poor. Wallahi, Islam is very different. For us, it's about hiding the best of our deeds. The best of our deeds, the ones that are hidden and made only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the path of true success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith, which is in Bukhari, the Prophet said in the hadith al-Qudsi, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ana aghna shuraka anishirk. I am the most free of all of those people that are associated and partners with me. Man amila amalan ashraka ma'ya ghayri taraktuhu wa shirku. So whoever does an action in which he associates anyone or even has the whims of thoughts of associating anyone with me, in that action I will leave him and his deed. Ya Rab, Ya Allah, we could do a deed throughout our life. We could lead our life with all the actions and good deeds that we're doing. But everything could be destroyed on the Day of Judgment because we did not have true sincerity and ikhlas behind it. But we could be a prostitute throughout our life. We could be a thief of our life. We could be beggars. We'd be the worst and most evil of people throughout our life. But if we did just one deed, just one single deed with absolute and pure intention, then of a surety, that person should be the happiest person on this earth. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will of a surety enter him into paradise. Just like that man who said, La ilaha illallah, sincerely from his heart. Just like the Jewish prostitute who did that. And I end with this story. And this is a story of a boy who came to Imam Malik, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'ah. And this is important because we are like this boy. He came to Imam Malik rahimahullah and said, Ya Imam, I have come and left my land in order to seek knowledge with you. So the Imam looked at him and said, Ya Bunay, O my son, make your intention only for the sake of Allah. For verily a week ago, another boy had just come to me just like you, 1 week ago. And it was only about a few days that he stayed with me and then he passed away, he died. And then I saw him in my dream. This is an authentic narration from Imam Malik in Sir Alam al-Nubula of al-Dhahabi. He said, I saw him in my dream. And I saw him that Allah had given him the most amazing reward. And the most amazing of rewards in Jannah. And Allah had put him with the greatest of scholars in Jannah. So I told him, Subhanallah, what has Allah done with you? He has forgiven me, the boy said. And he has given me the reward of the greatest of scholars of Islam. So Imam Malik rahimahullah asked him, why? Why has Allah given that from you when you only learned 2 or 3 or 4 hadith from me? So the boy smiled at me and he said, because of my ikhlas for his sake. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the path of true success. This is the path of true success where we realize the real reason for our existence and of our creation, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the path of true success. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Because that is exactly what our deen tells us. Excellence, excellence, excellence. Muslims, we are people of vision. Muslims, we are people who aspire greatness. We were not created to be slaves. We were not created to be followers, my friends. We were created to be lords and leaders.